You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the beautiful book Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1, where we left off last time. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1, also called Canticles. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching and then fervent prayer for America. You're also invited to come here each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping, internet taping, and SoundCloud teaching. I'm in Sunshine, Florida, right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Great Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And every Christian in America, all 50 states, you are lovingly invited to join me on Sunday, April 3rd, all day long, Sunday, April 3rd, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise in view of 2 Chronicles 7:14. And now, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart, to your heart. The greatest love story ever told, and you are in this story. Parentheses, Jesus is coming again. Now we've learned the Song of Solomon is a play, it's a parable written in the form of a play. A parable is a story used to illustrate a truth of God. Now you know Jesus always spoke in parables. Now, the characters in this Bible are the beautiful Shulamite girl, the wonderful shepherd boy, King Solomon, the daughters of Jerusalem, the Shulamite's mother, and her brothers. Now, you are one of these characters. You're not the wonderful shepherd boy, and you're not King Solomon. You're either the Shulamite girl, you're the daughters of Jerusalem, you are the brethren. You're one of the others. So find yourself in this story. Now, in this story, the Shulamite girl was taking care of her mother's sheep there, and she met the wonderful shepherd boy. And they were sitting in the tree, and he taught her how to feed the flock and how to take care of a vineyard. And they fell in love and got engaged to be married. But her brothers did not realize she was grown up, so they took her away from him and said, "You go tend the vineyard." Well, she'd take care of the vineyard, but she missed the shepherd boy. King Solomon, most powerful rich man on earth, saw her and wanted her. He already had all the other beautiful women in the kingdom, the daughters of Jerusalem. They were already living with him there in the palace, but he wanted her. So he commanded her to come to the palace. Okay, now she's escaped from the palace, and she's gone out the dark streets. She knows her shepherd boy is coming back for her at the dawning of day. The daughters of Jerusalem follow her into the street. King Solomon follows her, and it looks like it's just a mess here, but she's waiting for her wonderful shepherd boy. The wonderful shepherd boy is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our shepherd. He teaches us to take care of the sheep. The Shulamite girl is every man, woman, boy, girl, Christian alive on planet Earth right now, a minority of Christians who will not worship the about-to-appear Antichrist. They're going to wait for wonderful, wonderful Jesus. King Solomon represents the Antichrist. We're on the threshold of his coming. His time's been short for the elect's sake, but he's on the way. He's going to win the whole world. He's going to have power over all the world. He's going to call himself God, Savior, Theosotum. All the world will worship him, and half the body of Christ, the five foolish virgins of Matthew 25, and that they are represented by the daughters of Jerusalem. They marry him, thinking he is Jesus. The brothers are the brothers and sisters of the Christian church, meaning well, but who will also be deceived. They're going to turn the elect into the Antichrist. They think they will get us saved. The mother is, of course, the church. Now, we're in the street here as the curtain goes up, and she knows when it gets daylight, her wonderful shepherd boy is coming. She can almost feel him coming. The daughters of Jerusalem are there, and her brothers are on the way. Boy, this is a climactic moment. The curtain comes up. The Shulamite girl is crying out to shepherd boy, I know you're coming down that mountain, and I'm going to talk to you.
This one, oh, that thou were as my brother, that sought the breast of my mother, when I should find thee without, I would kiss thee, yea, I should not be despised.
She says, oh, shepherd boy, if you were my brother, I could just go ahead and kiss you and love you, and my family would not think I was doing something wrong. For the elect, Jesus is the bridegroom, and we're the bride, but he's also our elder brother. For God had only one begotten son. He paid our sin debt, and now he's the first fruits of many brothers.
Amen.
Verse 2, I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house. Who would instruct me? I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranate.
She says, if you were my brother, I could take you to my mother's house, and she would show me how to fix a nice meal for you. For the elect, we take everybody we can to mother's house, the church. The elect wins souls. Every elect bears fruit. And then they not only get them saved, Jesus is a Savior, they share the Word of God with them, and they take them to church. And there, they tell them that Jesus shed his blood, represented by the wine. And the church then, if it's the right church, with the Shulamite girl's help, with their elect, cause those new Christians to bear fruit, and that's symbolized by the pomegranate seed, fruit, and they teach them the word of God.
Verse 3, his left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me.
Sure, my girl says, it's almost day. He told me he's going to come at the day, the dawning of a new day. I think I see him. I know he's coming there, and when he comes, he's going to hug me. For the elect, when the Holy Spirit covers you, is absolute ecstasy.
Amen.
Verse 4, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, nor awake my love until he please.
Now she speaks to the daughters of Jerusalem. They're right there. She said, look, I know you followed me into the street, and my vineyard's right here. And I know you're looking for a wonderful shepherd boy, too. But it's still dark. It's not quite daylight. Don't you wake him up until day, because he's coming for me at day. For the elect, we know that it's darkest just before dawn. And the prince of the air is the prince of darkness. And the daughters of Jerusalem went too soon to get married. And the elect know and tell the daughters of Jerusalem. The elect tell the church, look out, look out. You think that Jesus is going to come fly you away. That's going to be the devil with his Jesus costume on. Don't go to that. Wait, 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 wait for the dawning of the new day. Wait until Jesus comes. Mm-hmm. For Jesus is a day star. He's a daylight.
Verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?
Now the daughter speaks, and she says, oh my goodness, what happened here? Guess what happened? The wonderful shepherd boy was coming, And he got right there at the edge of the street at the Shulamite girl's vineyard. And they hug each other. And she just leaning on him, leaning on him. The daughters of Jerusalem say, what in the world? Why would you want him and not rich, powerful King Solomon? For the elect at the seventh trump, not the sixth, the Antichrist is sixth. The seventh trump shall sound, and the Lord shall descend, and only God's elect will be gathered right around Jesus. And we're leaning on his everlasting arms.
Amen.
I raise thee up under the apple tree.
Guess who's speaking? The wonderful shepherd boy is here. I mean, it's almost dawn. You can kind of see a little bit of the sunlight coming in. He talks to her. He's holding her. They're so glad to be back together. I raised you up under the apple tree.
There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee.
He says, oh, beautiful Shulamite girl, I saw you there sitting under the tree, taking a little break from the sun, watching over your flock. And I saw you there. And I taught you how to take care of the sheep. And I taught you how to take care of the vineyard. And look at you. You're very good at that. For the elect, chosen from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, foundation, Satan's overthrow in the world that then was, will be a spiritual body. Jesus always knows his elect. There's been a remnant in every generation, the very elect right now. And he always makes sure that the elect are taught every word of God. The elect finally come to understand the mystery of God, the three earth and heaven ages, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the order of trumps. Jesus teaches us. The Holy Spirit guides the elect into all truth. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm.
She's hugging him. Wonderful shepherd boy. Let's hurry up and seal this marriage. Put that ring on my finger, for I know you love me and I love you. For the elect, the very elect alive right now, God has already told the devil, that old dragon, serpent, Lucifer, Satan, king of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9, God has said, do not touch any green tree. That means do not touch any tree of righteousness who has a seal of God in their forehead. The devil, who's the Antichrist, pretend to be Jesus, has already been commanded by God, do not touch an elect because they have the word of God sealed in them. And the truth is, he can't touch the elect anyway because we know the truth and the truth sets us free.
Amen. Amen.
For love is strong as death.
She's hugging him. She says, oh, wonderful shepherd boy, till death do us part. For the elect know that Jesus came and defeated death, whose name is the devil. And that should we die in our flesh bodies, that death cannot hold us. For through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Death is swallowed up in victory.
Yes. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame.
She says, my brothers were so protective of me. She said, that was horrible what they did to us. They made me separate from you, wonderful shepherd boy, and made me leave you. Now, her brothers have already arrived at the vineyard, which is the corner of the street. This is a great gathering. For the elect, the brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, mother should deliver daughter to death, daughter should deliver mother to death, etc. Death's name is the devil. The brothers and sisters of the Christian church who are going to deliver the elect up to Antichrist, that's a cruel thing. They don't mean any harm. They are deceived. but they just simply believe that the Antichrist is Jesus. But it's not such a bad thing, because it's God's plan for the elect to be delivered up to the Antichrist, for the Holy Spirit will speak through the elect in a language the whole world will hear, and the gospel shall be preached, and then the end shall come.
Amen.
Many watchers cannot quench love.
Shunammite girl says King Solomon sent his watchers, his police out here, and they were trying to tell me not to love you, wonderful shepherd boy. They were trying to tell me that I should marry King Solomon and love him. For the elect, the watchers are those precious people in the pulpit who love Jesus and think they're watching out for our soul. But they believe the lifely proverb of Ezekiel 28. God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their soul. They're watching out for you, and they're telling you that you're going to fly away before the Antichrist comes. Margaret MacDonald, a demented woman in 1832, had that vision. She was demented. She was cognitively, not all there. And she said, oh, we're going to fly away. No, no, no. Caught up in the air does not mean to fly into the sky. It means to change into the air body, into the breath of the spirit body, when Jesus will come, the real Jesus, which, of course, is going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15:52. So watch out for those. They mean well, but they're going to cause many, many Christians to fly into the arms of Antichrist.
Neither can the floods drown it.
Shunammite might have been through a lot. It had been a long, long time. She'd been in King Solomon's palace being interrogated. She'd been out in the dark streets here. It's almost dawn. She's sleepy. She's tired. It's been a hard time. But she says, none of this, shepherd boy. They're together. They're standing there. None of this can drown my love for you. For the elect, Revelation 12 says that when the dragon, that's a symbol of the Antichrist, the devil pretending to be Jesus, looking like him, acting like him, he's going to come after the woman, God's elect, with a flood. Okay, a flood of lies. It's already there. The lifely proverb. And he's coming back, his political system saying, he's going to tell him this is the Savior. But Revelation 12 says that the great eagle, God equates himself as a great eagle, is going to hide the woman, God's elect, in the wilderness covered. The devil cannot have us all during the time he's there. We're not going out, we're still here. But we're hidden, because the word of truth keeps us hidden from any kind of lies. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God lifts up a standard, the banner, the name, the blood, the word of Jesus Christ, and the waters will not drown you.
Amen.
If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Verse 8.
She says, King Solomon tried to buy my love. And she's talking to a wonderful shepherd boy. He tried to buy my love. He offered me everything. You can't buy love. As the Antichrist comes, remember, he's going to look just like Jesus. Peace, safety, craft to prosper, peace on earth, a great revival to the deceived part of the Christian church. But he's going to try to buy the elect. Look, I'm Jesus, he'll say. I'll give you money. I'll give you food. I'll give you lodging. I'll give you anything. But the elect can't buy our love. For the elect know that we're not bought with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nobody can buy the elect's love. We're in love with Jesus forever and ever. Endless love.
Amen.
We have a little sister, and she hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for?
Oh, my goodness, her brothers have gotten up there, Now we got the gathering. Her brothers, remember they made her separate from the wonderful shepherd boy? What happened? She was a little baby in the family. She had these older brothers. They just didn't realize she was growing up. She thought she was still a little girl in pink panties, and a pink ribbon in her hair. They did not realize that she was growing up. So now they began to understand, my God, she's been captured by King Solomon. Here's the wonderful shepherd boy. Wait a minute. They're making excuses. The reason, little sister, that we separated you, we thought you weren't mature enough. We thought you were still a little girl. We thought you were a little girl in pink panties with a pink ribbon in your hair. So that's why we separated you. When the brothers and sisters of the Christian church realize that the elect have the truth, because when the elect speak, the whole world will hear the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit in every language of the world. And those Christians deceived are going to call for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them. And they say, oh, my Lord, we meant well. We just thought you were deceived.
Verse 9. If she will be a wall.
The brothers are still speaking about her sister. And they are gathered here now. Wonderful shepherd boy, Shulamite. Daughters of Jerusalem listening. King Solomon is completely out of the picture. He gave up.
We will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with the boards of cedar.
The brothers say, okay, if our sister is still a virgin, if she did not go to bed with King Solomon in his palace there, and she's virginal, and she's walled herself in, not going into any man, and she's going to be a virgin for the wonderful shepherd boy, we'll give her a nice dowry for her wedding. We'll build her a nice house. But they said, but if she opened herself up to King Solomon, we're going to close that in and not let anybody come back in. Now, the elect are going to stay virginal. You see, the Antichrist will come to seduce you. He's going to tell you to marry him. He's going to say it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And half the body of Christ, foolish virgins 5, Matthew 25, all the world will go to the marriage supper of the Antichrist. But the elect are going to wait for the true bridegroom, the seventh trump, when Jesus comes. And the elect are going to be the only virginal bride, the only ones who can marry Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 10.
Now the Shunammite girl answers her brothers. She's going to say, wait, let me explain this just a minute here.
I am a wall.
I am a virgin. I was not seduced by King Solomon. I'm still virginal because here's my shepherd boy. I'm waiting for him.
And my breasts like towers.
And she says, you didn't realize I grew up.
Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor.
She says the wonderful shepherd boy didn't think I was a little girl in pink panties and a pink ribbon in my hair. He saw that I was matured and I was ready for marriage. For the elect, your breasts feed the flock. Amen. The elect men, women, boys and girls. Breast means you feed everybody you meet the full word of God, not just a little thing here, a little thing there. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, the three earth and heaven ages, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the order of trumps, and you feed because you see everybody you meet is your mission field, and elect knows this. And you feed the flock the full measure of the word of God.
Verse 11. Solomon had a vineyard that bare her vine. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver.
The Shunammite girl tells her wonderful shepherd boy and her brother, she said, King Solomon really had a vineyard there. I mean, he's got the biggest vineyard in the world. He had to hire sharecroppers, tenant farmers, and they get a large part of his money. Now, the Antichrist is going to be the god of the whole world, except for the Shulamite girl, except for the elect men and women who will not be deceived. And that he will own the whole world. In other words, it'll be his. He's a prince of darkness. He's a prince of the air. And he's going to pay quite well all of his people who work for him. He's already paying for them. The first piece of Revelation 13 is the political system of the Antichrist. They are here now. They're in the form of communism, socialism, Marxism. Boy, those liars get paid a lot of money.
Verse 12. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me.
But the Shulamite girl says, I wasn't going to work in his vineyard. He couldn't buy me off. I've got my own vineyard, and I'm tending it. In Isaiah chapter 5, God had a vineyard. The Lord had a vineyard. Vineyard is the world. And very sadly, some evil ones came in by night and took over the vineyard. And it was let out to tenant farmers that destroyed the vineyard. So it's destroyed. That's Satan. He had his own children there, the Kenites. And now you can see what a mess the world is in. It's full of the devil and all of his disarray. But God chose the elect, the Shulamite girl, chosen before the foundation of the world. Everyone was sent out to tend the vineyard. And no matter what happens, you take care of the vineyard. Jesus is Lord of the vineyard, the wine press. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. You tell everybody that. And the Shulamite, the elect, bear fruit in the vineyard. That's why you were sent out. You weren't sent out to be popular, to have fun, to have pretty clothes, to be comfortable, or to have cars and lands and houses and money. You were sent out here to tend the vineyard and try to put it in some kind of repair where it's been broken down. How's your vineyard doing? Your vineyard is where you are. Your school, your job, the next person you meet, the next person who calls you on the phone, that's your vineyard. Bloom where you're planted, you'll be transplanted.
Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000. And those that keep the fruit thereof, 200.
So she continues to say that King Solomon's got sharecroppers.
Verse 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice.
Shepherd boy speaking to her. They're embracing now. They're so glad to be back together. You took care of the vineyard, my beautiful Shulamite girl, because that's so important. The wonderful shepherd boy wants the vineyard taken care of. And he said, when I heard your companions, the daughters of Jerusalem, call it out to you, that let me know where you are. And you see, when Jesus comes back at the seventh trump, he's going to see how you, elect, have taken care of the vineyard. You, the elect, sow. You sow the word of God. You water. You pray. You pull up the weeds. You pull up the lies. And you harvest. And the elect are going to have wonderful fruit, wonderful works to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so happy about that. Because, see, he's the vine. You're the branch. And if you're the branch, you will bear fruit.
Amen.
Cause me to hear it. Verse 14. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like unto a roe or unto a young hart.
She's holding his hand. Darling, my wonderful shepherd boy, let's hurry. Let's hurry and get married right now. Let's make it quick. When Jesus comes at the seventh trump, after the Antichrist, pretending to be Jesus, having deceived the whole world and half the body of Christ, Jesus says, I come quickly, in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, the seventh trump shall sound, the heavens open like a scroll, and Jesus comes quickly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Shulamite girl is talking to him. She completes the Song of Solomon.
Upon the mountains of spices.
She says, love is the spice of life. If you remember in chapter 4, the wonderful shepherd boy says, I'm building us a little place here. The roof is fir trees, and it's bordered with the cedars of Lebanon. I mean, boy, it's like a mansion. It's a palace there. It's going to be right there in the vineyard, not somewhere else, right here. So she says, let's get into our honeymoon mode here, and let's go to our little mansion there that you built for us. When Jesus says, he says, I go to prepare a mansion for you, that where I am, there you may be also, a place for you. In Revelation 21, the heaven of Jerusalem is coming down. The fir tree is there, Almighty God, like a great fir tree. And the cedars of Lebanon are the very elect. You see, mansion doesn't mean a palace. The Greek word is mone, to rest, to Sabbath in Jesus Christ. He is our Sabbath. We will rest in him, he the bridegroom, and we be the bride forevermore. So you see, the Shulamite girl and the wonderful shepherd boy got married and lived happily ever after. The elect will wait for Jesus, and we will live happily ever after, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest love story ever told, and you are in this story. You're either the Shulamite girl, men and women, you're the daughters of Jerusalem, or you're the brothers. Who are you? I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Next week we'll begin a brand new book, the book of Hebrews. You're going to love it. Yeah. At this time, let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. What an awesome, awesome book. What an awesome teaching.
Awesome teaching. Yeah. To God be the glory. Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And the one hearing, let him say, come. And the one thirsting, let him come. And the one desiring, let him take freely the water of life. Revelations 22:17.
Absolutely perfect.
Amen.
I couldn't have said it better. Absolutely perfect. Revelation 22, verse 17. Great, Scott. Thank
Amen.
You very much. Before I open the church, it's time to get saved. If you're not saved, and I'm sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me, and God will save you right now. Here we go. All out in cyberspace. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come now and be saved.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I ask forgiveness for all my sins. Wash them away with the blood of Jesus. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Grow me in your word. And use me to win many souls to Jesus. Amen. Now for those who are in cyberspace, Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call my number, leave your message, and on my voicemail there. And when I get the message, I will pray for you, and welcome to the body of Christ. Now, about praying for the sick. I feel led to tell you that just because you're sick and you don't have your instant healing, delay does not mean denial.
Amen. Amen.
For Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 says, and it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. In the great book of Daniel, Daniel needed help pronto. ASP, you know, as soon as possible. Okay, ASAP. As soon as Daniel asked for help, God sent the Archangel Michael to help him. But it was 21 days before Daniel's prayer was answered because the prince of Persia stopped Michael the Archangel. See, just because you pray according to Father's word, and just because God says yes and says, okay, you've got the answer, there is a devil, and he's got demons, and he's even got people in the church who do not believe. So delay does not mean denial. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask now that you will remove the prince of Persia and let the sick say, I am well. We speak forth the word of healing, the word of deliverance from any kind of affliction, any kind of sickness. The pain be gone. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. We call forth the spirit of healing to the body of Christ. He sent his word and healed you. And what you do, if you don't manifest it, pick up your bed and walk. Act like you're healed. Amen. And bear that heavy burden. And one of these days, you'll get your victory. I pray you are blessed. Amen. Go in time. Go in time. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
God bless you, America. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth, inviting every Christian in America, right where you are, to please join me on Sunday, April 3rd, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise in view of 2 Chronicles 7:14. God's word is true, and he says, if my people call by my name, that's we, the Christian people of America, all 50 states, will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, not his hand, but his face, and turn from our wicked ways, repent of our self-centeredness, our greed, our narcissism. God promises he will hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sins, and heal our land. He will heal America. I want to ask every Christian leader in America, wherever your platform is, pastors, politicians, radio, television, internet, social media, Christian organizations, will you that day please, anytime on that Sunday, April 3rd, gather your flock together and lead them to pray and then do 2 Chronicles 7:14. Call out the sins of the church by name. And I want to ask you then, after you repent with your flock there, wherever you are, your own platform there, please lead your congregation to praise, because Psalm 22 says God inhabits the praises of his people. I do ask you, please, don't make this a show. Don't let anybody get famous or advertise their agenda about this. Let's be humble here and meek about this. Prostrate, if possible, on the floor, metaphorically in sackcloth and ashes. You might want to wear red, white, and blue. I do encourage everybody all of America, wherever you are, to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then let's all sing the Star Spangled Banner, which is a national anthem for America, the national anthem for red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Now, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to participate, you might want to let me know. So here's someone who can let you know. He's my prayer partner, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. Take it away, Scott.
Yes, you can reach or contact Sherry at Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. That would be Shari Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Scott. God bless you, America. I love you with all my heart. Let's do this. Let's make America one nation under God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet very best of contemporary truth. Christian music, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Count but loss and Hi, folks. Paul Esposito here, station manager of 91.5 WMIE Radio. Thanks for joining us here today as we're heading into this weekend. I just want to let everyone know that our fundraiser is kicking off on this Monday morning. And I know it's been quite a while since we've been on the air with a live fundraiser. It's been a year, actually. Over the summer, we raised the money for a new transmitter. Many of you know our transmitter died early summer of last year. So we had a fundraiser in the early summer, but we weren't on the air with that. We just did a mailing fundraiser, and thanks to so many of you who responded to that. So it's been quite a while since we've been on the air, and we will be here starting this week where we are raising up $37,000. Praise God, we're almost at $20,000 heading into the weekend. I think we're at $19,500 heading into this weekend. So if you are blessed by this radio station, keep in mind, please, that we are listener-supported. It's you guys that keep us on the air and broadcasting here at the station. So if you'd like to help, you can give us a call here at the station Monday, 321-632-1000. No gift is too small. God is in the blessing and multiplying business. He can take your gift and cause it to increase many times over. Looking forward to hearing from you this week. Again, we're over the halfway point. We'll be on the air live in between programs starting this Monday. The number once again here, 321-632-1000.
Death, no life or final breath could ever separate us from your love. No failure, no mistake, no loneliness or pain could ever separate us from your love. Could ever separate us from your love. On the other side of everything I'm afraid of, you were standing with your arms wide open, even in my deepest doubts and wonder, you were standing with your arms wide open, strong. Oh, I found where I belong. Forever I'm alive now in your love. I'm changed, unchained by your amazing grace. Forever I'm alive now in your love. And on the other side of everything I'm afraid, farthest ocean, you give the morning its light. I can't run from your presence, there's no place that far. So I run to you, my Savior. There's safety in your arms. If I make my bed in darkness, if I try my best to hide, well, you know the farthest ocean, you give the morning. Presence, 'cause there's no place that far. afraid of. You were standing with your arms wide open, even in my deepest doubts and wonder. You were standing with your arms wide open on the other side of everything I'm afraid of. You were standing with your arms wide open, even in my deepest doubts and wonder. You were standing with your arms wide open,
as a child. Maybe I better place still. You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
I stand here and watch the sunrise, follow the mountains where they touch the sky, ponder the vastness in the depths of the sea, and think for a moment. The point of it all was to make much of me. 'Cause I'm just a whisper, and you are the thunder, and I wanna make much of you, Jesus. I wanna make much of you, Lord. I wanna live today to give you the praise that you alone are so worthy of. I want to make much of your mercy. I want to make much of your cross. I give you my life. Take it and let it be used to make much of you. How can I leave here and think of the cross, the thorns and the whip and the nails and the spear, the infinite cost to purchase my pardon and bear all my shame?